everybody, my name's Mickey Bush and I'm an addict. Probably an alcoholic too. Oh, feeling good. In Cocaine Anonymous, and where I got clean, the only reason we allow cell phones to be left on is if you're expecting a call from the local VD clinic. And they only call if you got a positive test. So if your phone or beeper goes off, we sympathise, but you ain't getting laid tonight. Now, honestly, how many people half measured their phone and beeper? How many people actually turned it off instead of put it on vibrate or silent or everything else just in case? See, half measures. What does half measures... What do half measures give us? Thank you, that's right. In Cocaine Anonymous, I introduced myself as an addict and probably an alcoholic because that's the way we like it done. We like to introduce ourselves and relate one addict to another addict. So in Cocaine Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, I introduced myself as an addict and probably an alcoholic because that's the way we like it done. I don't have a problem with that today. You know, being a real addict, everything about me is addictive. I hope everything comes out all right, love. That's all right, people in Cocaine. I think I'll get up. I think I'll just get up and walk about. I think I'll get up and say hello to them, disturb them. I think I'll just get up and walk around. Now, I don't mind if you're new and you're tweaking. You know. Vibrating. You know. Anybody remember coming in here vibrating? I was definitely no bloody vision for you when I got here, I would tell you that. But anyway, well, at Cocaine Anonymous, we just do that, don't we? We just walk around and disrupt people and do things. Anyway, you know, being a real addict, I'm a total addict. Everything about me is addictive. There's not just a part of me an addict or a big part of me that ain't addict. I'm all addicts, see? So being a real addict, I have the right to be dysfunctional in as many ways as I like. You know? Don't tell me I'm limited or restricted. If there's good dysfunction out there, I want my share of it. And being a real addict, you know better than I do. I don't only want my share, I want what? More. I just want more. Don't matter what it is, I want more of it. If there was nothing in the world to do but breathe the air, I would go, because I'd want more air than you, or I'd want your air. Don't matter what it is, I just want more of it. Don't even if I don't know what it is, I want more of it. I'd even want more bloody herpes than you. You know, I just want more. You know what I mean. So, if there's good dysfunction out there, I want more of it, more. And so being a real addict, you know, I always use, well, I didn't only use, I drank. Oh, man, did I drink. I drank. I'm a real alcoholic. So consequently, I get asked to speak in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, and when I identify in them meetings, I identify as an alcoholic and probably an addict, because that's the way they like it done too. And I don't have a problem with that today. I used to get into all that crap, but not today. See, I'm Mickey Bush, I'm an alcoholic addict, I'm in an Alcoholic Addicts Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, 12-step program. I know what's wrong with me and I know what to do about it. I never knew that when I got here on January the 15th, 1983. I never knew, never had a clue. And I'm a very sick dude. I mean, you are not going to be hearing well up here tonight. You're not going to be hearing cured. You think you're going to hear cured up here? No. You know, I'm a very sick dude. In fact, if there's 12 steps attached to anything, I'm a contender for it. No matter what it is. If there's 12 steps attached to anything, I'm a contender for it, man. A-A-N-A-C-A, A-C-A, overeaters, little Peters, it don't matter what it is. You know, yeah, you can laugh, haha. Yeah. Well, I want you to know, I went to a little Peter meeting and wouldn't let me in, said I didn't qualify. Yeah. They let Jim in, Jim was alright, they let Jim in, he was alright. You're a rotten lot laughing at little Jim. Yeah. Well, you black folk think you've got a monopoly on there or what? Yeah, telling ya, yeah. Yeah, you know. So you get the point, we're not going to be talking cured up here tonight. You know? I'm a cocaine addict. The last drugs I did was cocaine. May 7th, 1983. Now, I told you I got here on January the 15th, 1983. But I don't consider my clean and sober date until May 8th, 1983. Why? Because 4 months after I get to Alcoholics Anonymous and quit drinking, I'm still doing all the other stuff that I do. Because I'm a real alcoholic addict. I always drank, but I never only drank. Now, I want to include everybody here who's recovering from whatever they want to recover from, so I want you to feel inclusive, not exclusive. So if I say alcohol or alcoholism and you don't relate because you're a crack monster, you know, or a dope fiend, or a pervert, or whatever else you may be inclusive. Mentally translate to whatever does work for you, okay? So if I say alcohol, and I talk the language of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, if I say alcohol and alcoholism or anything else you want, I just thought, yeah, I'm 21 years clean. They never had crack when I was doing it. Anybody here remember what we did have? Freebase! Remember that? Why the hell did we call it free? What was free about it? Hey, anybody remember anything free about it? Cost you every damn thing you had, didn't it? Everything. I was just thinking about that. I ain't never done crack. You got bad minds, that's what you got, bad minds. I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, January the 15th, 1983. Broke, busted, disgusted and not to be trusted. I didn't come in here doing very well, I can promise you that. I'd just come off a 3-day run. Anybody remember a 3-day run? You know when you just can't get comfortable and your skin don't fit and you hurt and you just... Ah! And you hate everybody, everything, doesn't matter what it is. I just hate everybody. And I hurt. Can't stand you, can't stand me. Hate women. Hate black people because I'm prejudiced and racist. And I hate homophobics and homos. And I'm from London, England, and I'm in Los Angeles, and I hate foreigners. Can't stand myself, so why don't you piss off? Because I hate you worse than me, and you don't know me anyway, so get away from me. Anybody remember that? Full of guilt, shame, remorse, anxiety, fear, worry, loneliness, apartfulness, separateness, hating everybody, can't stand myself, can't stand anybody. That's what I brought in here, but I'm trying to present to you a picture that you will like, because you have to like me, see? Because when your higher power is what you think of me, you got to like me. So I'm full of all that what I just described to you, but I've got to try and present something to you, and it's driving me crazy, because if you don't like me, I'm doomed. I can't stand it. So I got a drink and drug, because I can't stand nothing. And all of a sudden, I'm drinking and drugging, and I still can't find nothing. I still can't stand nothing. See, I'm an alcoholic addict. I know why I'm an alcoholic addict today, like the beautiful book told me I had to discover for the very first time. I had to fully concede to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic addict. I didn't know what that meant, but I do today. I didn't know what it meant. How would I know? I had no idea. I couldn't work it out for myself. What do you think, I could work this stuff out for myself? You think my best thinking got me here? You think after that 3-day run, I looked in the mirror and said, Mick, your life is a mess. You better go to AA and sort the bugger out. I couldn't do this for myself. You guys had to come and help me, and that's what happened. I was 12-stepped by a guy 2.5 years clean and sober. I couldn't have worked it out for myself. I didn't even know what I was working out. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know why I was doing it. I don't know why I do what I do, and I don't know why I do it. How do I know? I don't know nothing. I'm so sick when I get here. I'm so sick that I don't even know I'm sick. Do you know how sick that is? Do you know how sick it is to be so sick you don't even know you're sick? Do you know how sick that is? It's really sick. What, are you going to watch each other? Look at them. Don't splash the sea. I was so sick, I'll tell you how sick I was when I get to Alcoholics Anonymous. I was so sick, and this is how sick maybe you can relate. When you come into a room full of alcoholics and addicts, and you scan the room, like being a good scanner, we have to be a good scanner, because anybody like me has to be a good scanner, because any room you go in, you've got to be able to scan the room to see who's going to be the next victim. You know that. You scan the room and you go, at least I ain't as sick as him. Do you know how sick it is to be in a room full of alkies thinking you ain't as sick as someone else? It's really sick. If you're in here tonight wondering whether you is or whether you isn't a real addict or not, I want you to know that I can relate to being as sick as you don't think you are. Really sick. I never knew. I do today. I wrote a word for sick. S-I-C-K. Spiritually ill can kill. And I was dying of a disease I never even knew I had. You guys all knew. I never knew. Why would I know? How would I know? I'm from Northwest London. You probably picked up on that, right? This is the way I talk, folks. Cocaine never done this to me. You know what I mean? I don't know why I do what I do. How would I know? I always drank. Don't know anybody who didn't drink. Everybody where I came from drank. I'm from Northwest London. Everybody drinks. Nobody drank for a reason. We never had a reason to drink. We didn't have a reason not to drink. Everybody just drank. We drank if the team won. We drank if the team lost. If it was a tie, we drank till there was a result. You know, we just drank. I don't know why we did it. Everybody did it. I didn't know anybody who didn't do it. When I get here, you folk all know why you're doing what you're doing. I read in the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics drink primarily because they like the effect produced by alcohol. Doctor's opinion. I don't have a problem with that, but I never thought about it, never worked it out. I mean, yeah, you guys all going, well, I drank because I couldn't stand the pain, and I used because I was covering up my feelings, and I couldn't stand who I was, and I had all these issues. Pass the tissues, I got issues. You know what I'm saying? I thought, at what stage of the game do you discover that? I don't know about that. How would I know about that? I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine going into a pub and saying, oh, bartender, hit me with a triple shot of your best booze, because I can't stand who I am and I want to cover up the pain tonight. It never happened. It never happened. You know, drug of choice. What is a drug of choice? I have no idea what a drug of choice is. I heard all you folk talking about drug of choice. I went, drug of choice? You got to choose? You get to choose? Drug of choice? What is a drug of choice? My drug of choice, if I got one, is yours. Whatever you got is my drug of choice. And anything you got is my favourite. And that's usually followed by, is it good and will you front me some? Tell you what kind of dope fiend I am. I'm out on the street one day, raining dirty, on the phone to the man, trying to hustle a deal, trying to get something for nothing is what I'm trying to do. I'm on the phone, I look down in the dirt, and in the dirt is a pill. I went, oh, look at that. Swooped down on this pill, picked it up, looked around for another one, and ate it. I don't know what it is. It was a pill. I don't know what kind of pill. It could have been a bloody dog worming pill for all I know. It was a goddamn pill. It might have done something to what's going on up here. I can't stand it up here. I've got to take something. I ain't got nothing. Holy shit. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about nothing. How would I know? I get to Alcoholics Anonymous on January the 15th as a direct result of what I do know today, but I hit bottom on January the 15th, 1983, which I had never done prior to that, as I thought I had. And I thought I'd hit many, many bottoms, but I actually hadn't, not until January the 15th, 1983. Oh, I'd been a lot of places. I'd been lots and lots of places. I'd been locked up and incarcerated and beaten up and chained down and shot up with drugs and tranks and zapped on electric machines. Don't ever volunteer for that, by the way. It don't work, you know. But you know what? I'd never actually hit bottom, though I thought I had. I'd never had no God in my life. I never had no power. I never had no spirituality. The only time I ever prayed was when I was doing something wrong. The only time I ever prayed was when I was like running into a bank with a gun or something, and I'd say, please God, let everything go okay. You know? So you get the picture. I'm not a well dude. And I get to Alcoholics Anonymous, I hit bottom, I'll go into that a little bit later maybe. And I get to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Before I get in the meeting, I heard the message, like I heard it tonight. You know what, before I even got in the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I heard the message. This was in West Hollywood, Los Angeles. Anybody know West Hollywood? No? West Hollywood's a very special place. It's commonly referred to as Boys Town. Some of you are looking a bit blank, don't know what I mean? Well, if you give you a clue, it's the kind of town, if you drop your wallet on Santa Monica Boulevard, you've got to kick it up to Sunset before you can pick it up. If you're gay, don't be offended. I told you I was homophobic. You get the picture. I walked out of this Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and there's two dudes standing outside. One of them stepped forward like that with his hand out. I said, what do you want? He said, I want to welcome you to AA. I said, what? He said, welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous. I said, what? And the other dude said, keep coming back. I said, what for? He said, we love you. I said, I bet you do. When dudes tell you they love you in West Hollywood, it ain't got nothing to do with AA. I snuck past them, went into the meeting. Nice meeting, they smoked in meetings then. I looked around the room, there were some celebrities I knew. I went, holy shit, look at this, what is this? People talking, talk. God damn, look at this. What is this? And a guy come walking towards me, an English rock and roll singer, I'd known him for years. I went, what are you doing here? He said, I'm leading the meeting. I said, how come? And he put his arms around me. I went, oh, what are you doing? He said, I'm giving you a hug. I went, get away from me! I'm in the goddamn funny farm, man. Hugs and loves and shit. We've been saving you a seat, he said. I went, what for? He said, I'm leading the meeting. I said, how come? He said, I'm 22 months sober. I went, ugh. I wasn't impressed by sobriety. Wow, 22 months sober. I don't want to catch what he's got. He said, talk to these dudes. I said, get away from me. I don't want to talk to no dudes. But they wouldn't shut up. They would talk. Newcomers are often amazed how we know they're new. You go up to a new guy, you reach out to him, you put your hand out and say, hi, I'm Mickey, you're new, right? And they go, how do you know? How do you know I'm new? And they knew I was new. Wouldn't shut up. Talk. All of a sudden, one guy said, you're an alcoholic. I said, what? He said, you're alcoholic. I said, what? You're an alcoholic. Alcoholic? You're an alcoholic. I thought that was a bloody mean thing to say to a dude. What do you mean? You're an alcoholic. Why'd you say that? Because it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and sounds like a duck and smells like a duck. It's a bloody duck. Just because he's been taking some shit and thinks he's an eagle. No, you're a duck. You're a duck, I'm a duck. Quack, quack, he went on. Damn. Holy shit. I couldn't believe it. Alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. He said, I'm an alcoholic. I thought, wow, alcoholic. He said, I'm an alcoholic. I thought, alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. Wow. Holy shit, alcoholic. Wow. And I thought about it, and I thought, wow, alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. I ain't nuts, I ain't crazy, I'm alcoholic. Holy shit. Being alcoholic was like a step up for me. I went, wow, far off, I'm alcoholic. Holy shit, alcoholic. I ain't crazy, I ain't nuts, I'm alcoholic. Wow, I know what's wrong with me. I hadn't known what was wrong with me up until then. They kept bashing me up and hurting me and chaining me down and incarcerating me and ostracising me. I've been locked up in bloody places cuckoos wouldn't fly over, man. But they didn't get through to me what was wrong with me until I got here to recovery. I couldn't wait to run home and tell my best friend, the one that very morning had kicked me out, told me to piss off. Is piss off a term that you understand, or is that English? I ran home, I knocked up my pal, I said, hey, guess what? I'm an alcoholic, I'm powerless over alcohol, my life's unmanageable. He said, no shit. I thought he was going to be surprised. Weren't nobody surprised, only me. Delusionary thinking, the book says. Delusionary. I never knew. Alcoholic. And I've loved being alcoholic ever since. I've been alcoholic and not a drop has passed my lips from that day to this. And I never went to no meeting to quit drinking. I never had no desire to quit drinking. I never knew nothing about nothing. I never knew I was alcoholic. I never knew nothing about a disease of alcoholism. Never knew nothing about nothing. I was just sick and dying. And if you're in any way, shape or form similar to me, there's hope for you too. Because I haven't drank since that day. But I got to clarify something. I love Cocaine Anonymous. I have an allegiance to Cocaine Anonymous that is hard for me to define to you. You know why? Because in Cocaine Anonymous, I'm blessed and grateful to have been around at the very beginning. And there was a guy there called Johnny Siegel. You know, some of you know him, Johnny. To me, he was probably the most predominant person in Cocaine Anonymous. Certainly where I was concerned. 4 months I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, not drinking. But I told you, I don't only drink, I also do lots of other stuff. And I do. I'm not drinking, still doing all the other shit I do. because I do lots of other shit. I don't know whether you do or not, but I do. I like pot. Anybody here smoke a little pot? Anybody smoke a lot? Yeah, no shit. I ain't got a problem with pot. I like pot. Pot only does two things to me. It makes me horny and makes me hungry. Nothing wrong with that. Except some mornings you wake up with a sore arm and a bed full of pizza crust. But apart... Oh, you do that sick shit here, huh? Oh. I like cocaine. Anybody here do a little cocaine? Anybody do a lot? Yeah, no shit. I ain't got no problem with cocaine. Do anything for cocaine, except pay for it. Don't like paying for it. Don't like paying for it. I like speed, crystal, crank. Anybody here do a little speed, crystal, crank? Anybody do a lot? Yeah, no shit. Did it make your dick disappear too? You ain't gonna get that in no Betty Ford manual. Oh yes, fire up some crystal, your dick will disappear. It's funny how the ladies seem to relate to that. All the dudes are going, not me, rock on Tommy, ladies. I like heroin, anybody here do a little dope? Anybody do a lot? Yeah, no shit. I don't care if I puke on you, I'm a puker, for Christ's sake. So I'm still doing all this, not drinking in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm with Johnny one day. I'm with Johnny one day, who was my mate, Johnny. I was with him when he wrote out the first step of Cocaine Anonymous. He wrote out the first step of Cocaine Anonymous, and he wrote down, "We admitted we were powerless over cocaine and all other mind-altering substances." We're the only fellowship who say that, by the way. I said, "Hey, Johnny, you can't write that." He said, "Yes, I can." "Oh, no, you can't. We've took a group conscience in Cocaine Anonymous. We're taking the program out of the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous." He said, "I don't care. I'm leaving it like that." I said, "No, that ain't right. No, you've written cocaine and all other mind-altering substances." He said, "Yes, and that's what I'm leaving." I said, "No, that ain't fair. It don't say that in Alcoholics Anonymous. It don't say that in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and I don't drink, but I still do all the other shit." He said, "Yes, that's why you're bloody insane," he said. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You gotta quit everything." I said, "Everything?" He said, "Yes, everything." I went, "Holy shit, everything." And so, the last drugs of any kind, excuse me, dude, on May 7th, was cocaine. I ain't done anything from that day to this. May 8th, the following day, is my clean and sober date. And I got news for you. They say there's no greater pain for an alcoholic addict who relapses and goes back out there and has a belly full of booze and a head full of AA. I'll give you worse pain than that, my friends. I'll give you worse pain than that. You stick around these rooms. You keep coming to meetings and don't do the work around here and don't have a sufficient substitute for the alcohol and drugs like the beautiful book says. And if you don't replace the alcohol and drugs with a sufficient substitute like the 12 steps program, if you don't replace what you've been doing with what you need to do, and if you sit around these rooms and have a sober belly without a head full of AA and ACA, you will hurt. You will hurt so bad, and you will hurt so bad that you will have to use again. Because that's what happens right here. Clean and sober people drink and drug again. Because they don't find a sufficient substitute for the alcohol and drugs that they've been using. And they hurt. And if you think coming to meetings and sticking your ass in a seat, you think that it's going to come up through the hole in your butt through osmosis, you're nuts. It ain't going to happen. We got some work to do around here. And that's what we need to do. And I never knew that, but Johnny did and you guys did, and you saved my ass. And it was Cocaine Anonymous that got through to me. Now, I may have been told all lots of other things, but I never heard it. I don't blame people, because I know I've always had a hearing problem. I got a hearing problem. I don't hear shit right. Never have. Never happened just because I got here. All my life, I don't hear shit right. I don't collate things the same as normal people. I didn't realise it until I got to recovery, because that's what makes me an alcoholic addict. See, years ago when I was just a little kid and I grew up learning how to survive, and I wouldn't like what was being said, I wouldn't like what you said to me, so I would change it mentally to what I did like and then blame you when it turned out screwed. I would mentally change what I didn't like. I later found out along the path of life that alcohol and drugs did that for me. That's what made me an alcoholic addict. Alcohol and drugs changed my perception of reality. That was what it was that made me an alcoholic addict. Not what I did because I was alcoholic, but that what alcohol and drugs did for me, which was change my perception of reality. And that's what makes you an alcoholic addict. Most people don't realize that. Alcohol and drugs changes my perception of reality. I don't know that. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't realize that. I don't know that I'm an alcoholic addict. I don't know that. How would I know? Well, you think I could work it out? I don't know, you know, that alcohol and drugs changes my perception of reality, but I call it a nerd remover. Alcohol and drugs removes the nerdness. I feel like a nerd, I use, and I don't feel like a nerd. I feel like a nerd, and I use, and I don't care if I'm a nerd. I feel like a nerd and I use, and you're a goddamn nerd. Screw you. Mary in my home group, she's a badass alcoholic addict. She's a delicate little dudette. She puts it as well as I've ever heard anybody put it. She says when she drinks and drugs, she feels wittier, prettier and tittier. I know exactly what she means. See? Alcohol and drugs removes, that was the essence of the duck and the eagle story. Alcohol and drugs changed me from a duck to an eagle. I go out drinking as a little duck, have a few swift ones, turn into an eagle and go swooping around looking for prey. I don't know that. Even if I've been told it, I don't hear it right. Anybody here got a hearing problem? Yeah. No shit. Used to drive my mum mad. I would go home drunk when I lived in my mum's house. Now, I don't know whether you got a mum like my mum or whether you even is a mum like my mum. I don't know. But you couldn't get one over my mum in her house. In her house, that was her domain. She knew every nook and cranny in that house. And I would come home ripped. Alcoholics and addicts have this insane belief that they know how to be quiet. Remember? And I would come home, stumble bumming around, and of course, my mum would hear everything. I'm sure she slept with one eye open, you know. She would yell out down the stairs, "Drunk again, son!" And I'd go, "So am I, mum!" She'd say, "I'm not bloody drunk, I've been in bed since 9 o'clock, what the hell's wrong with you? Are there any other weirdos here tonight?" And the rest of you lying mothers, I know weirdos when I see them. All my life people seem to say to me, "What is wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with you? For Christ's sake, what's wrong with you? Goddamn weird you are, you know that? You're weird you are. Now get the hell away from me, weirdo. The hell's wrong with you? Goddamn weirdo." And I wouldn't get it. And I think, why are they saying that? I said, "Why'd you say that? Why do you drink like you do?" I go, "Well, why don't you drink like I do? Because I don't think there's nothing wrong with me. It's you." She and I don't know. I don't know nothing about nothing till I come here. Till I come here and one relates to another like we do. Because that's the magic that we got here. The magic that we got that they ain't got out there. They don't understand us out there. They don't know in Kansas City with Missouri or Kansas what we're doing in here. They don't understand what we're talking about. My own mum don't. My own mum don't relate to me as much as you folk who have never ever seen me before and might not see me again. You know me better than my own mum does. Every year I go on to London, England to see my mum. Knock on her door. Tell her, Mum, clean and sober 21 years. She says, so is the cat. She don't give me no pat on the back for not doing something I shouldn't have done anyway. I'm busy, she says, I'm going to bingo. One year I fooled her, you know what, I think it was year 13. Went home, didn't go round to her first. Now I got three sisters and a brother. Went home first, they knew I was home, but I never went round to mum first to tell her the truth. She heard I was in town, she got all worried and concerned, didn't she? She called up my sisters and brothers. She said, he's in town, you know, but he ain't been round to tell me he's clean and sober. He ain't got drunk, has he? Is he all right? He ain't going to die, is he? Because mums make out they don't care, don't they? But they do care, don't they? And we affect them, don't we? Same as we affect our own kids, don't we? See, don't have to do that today, clean and sober. What a gift, what a gift. I ain't got to do that. I'll share with you the first time I've shared this in public. This week my mum died. She's no longer with me. You know. Big loss. I'm a poor little foreign orphan in a strange land. You know there's no reason for me to drink and drug. I don't drink and drug for any reason, nor do you. We don't drink and drug because of any reason. There's no reason for us to drink and drug, but what, you know what we do have? We have a false delusionary thought that we believe that not, we don't drink and drug over whatever it is that happens to us, like death in the family or accidents or losing my money or anything. We don't drink and drug over that. We drink and drug over the false belief that drinking and drugging will ease the pain of what we're going through. See, and we don't have to do that. That's why I've got to understand what it is about me that makes me alcoholic addict. Alcohol and drugs changes my perception of reality. See, and here in sobriety, I can go through anything without having to. That's all we have got, folks. That's all we have got right here, right now. A way of living where no matter what happens, we ain't got to use over it. Not that it ain't going to happen, but when it does happen, I ain't got to use over it. Because it will happen, folks. It will hit the fan, it just ain't my fan anymore. I ain't in charge of the fan. At 10 years clean and sober, I was in the fetal position on the floor, eating the carpet in so much pain I couldn't stand it. But guess what? Johnny was there for me again. And at 10 years clean and sober, Johnny walked me through that. I couldn't have got through it on my own, I don't believe. I walked through that without having to drink and drug. Some clever ass people thought, well, what step wasn't you working? Said, get the hell away from me, idiot. It's because I was working such a strong program that I was able to come through that without having to use over it. That's why. And guess what, folks? I don't like to say this and I grieve the loss of Johnny. But at 17 years clean and sober, Johnny couldn't do for himself what he'd helped me and many thousands of others, and he OD'd and died. Don't do that, folks. Stick with us. Stick with us. We have a power in here. I want to remind you of something now. I haven't drunk and drugged. I think I've maybe related to you somewhat of what I was like. Broke, busted, disgusted and not to be trusted. Hurting. Crazy, insane. Just a pain in everybody's ass. I ain't that way today. I just came back from Asia. I just spent a month in Asia. I spoke at the Bali convention. I did conventions and workshops all throughout Thailand. And I ended up in Hong Kong where we got a CA meeting there, a thriving CA meeting. Peter's over there. And I spoke at the Cocaine Anonymous meeting in Hong Kong. That was Asia. That's the sixth continent that I've spoken at in the last 3 years, carrying this message all over the world. When I got to AANACA on January the 15th, 1983, I had nobody to talk to. Nobody would talk to me. There wasn't a degree of the compass that I could talk to, I could turn to, and expect somebody to be glad to see me. Everybody X'd me out of their life, and I X'd them too. Now, I've spoken carrying this message on six continents. If you don't think that gives me a big fat feeling, I got news for you. I love being an active member of Cocaine Anonymous. I love being an alcoholic addict. Weren't nobody breathlessly waiting for me to show up when I got here, I can promise you that. I never had no loving God in my life. You guys told me, let go and let God. I said, what? You said, turn it over to God. I said, what? You said, pray to God. I said, what? Pray to God? If I pray to him, he'll know where I am. I've been ducking God for years, me. I get nervous when dudes are creeping around, hunched over. Yeah, how would I pray to something that I had the idea of, that I was going to, like, God was going to get me for everything? He was going to get me. God was going to get me. I had this vision of, like, praying to the Holy Father and go, oh, Holy Father, there you are, you little shit. I've been looking for you. Zap. Ain't true today. In the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous, it says something on page 93 that I love. It says, he can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. That is a condition, my friends. I know it's glib for people to say, our book is meant to be suggestive only. The book says it of itself. This book that says of itself, our book is meant to be suggestive only, may have bloody well meant to be suggestive only, but it ain't. It's got clear-cut, precise instructions, directions and rules to follow. One of those conditions are, he can choose any concept of God he likes, provided it makes sense to him. That is a condition. What sense does it make to you? What perception have you got of a power greater than yourself that you can rely on? Especially at 2 o'clock in the morning, when the demons are screaming and your ass is in a sling and you've got a use so bad, you better have something better going for you than the fact that you don't want to do it. You better. Provided it makes sense to you. What sense does it make to you? Nobody asks that question. It's almost beyond. It's sacrilege. You're not supposed to ask people that. That's private. Screw that. I want to know. See, and we know something around here, folks, if you're new around here. We know something in recovery. We've learnt some things around here since we inaugurated. Look, we know that no matter what kind of God you got, doesn't matter what kind of God you got, this thing we got here works for everybody. Even if you're atheist or agnostic, if you don't believe in God or can even prove there ain't a God, we don't care. Because what we got here is a way of life that we can depend upon, and we know that all the gods, no matter what kind of God you got, and it don't matter to us what kind of God, we have no truck with anybody's preference along these lines, it don't matter whether it's a Catholic, Jewish, Hindu, Muslim, you can have a leg of the chair God, a doorknob God, you can have any kind of God you like, because we don't care, because all the gods have at least one thing in common. You know what that is? All the gods, no matter what kind of God you got, all send their addicts here. Don't they? Don't they? That's why they send them here. Because here's the power that they provided for an addict like me to not have to use. See, that's what we got here. Think about it. So I want you to think about it. It's in our first step. It says, we admitted we were powerless over cocaine and all other mind-altering substances, right? Now that our lives have become a mantle. Let's think about that. What are we actually saying? We admitted we were powerless over cocaine and all other mind-altering substances. What are we actually saying? Are we saying that we, as a fellowship, joined together in unity, have no power over cocaine? Is that what we're saying? Think about it.
Think about it. Are we saying that we, as Cocaine Anonymous, joined together in unity, have no power over cocaine? Because if we are, we're screwed. And if we ain't saying that, well then we must be acknowledging that we do have a power. That we, joined together in unity, do have a power. I got news for you. If you're a real addict of my kind, presumably of your kind, and truly are powerless over cocaine, in and of myself I'm powerless over cocaine, if there ain't a power right here, right now, enabling me to not have to drink and drug, I gotta get loaded. If I don't have a power enabling me to not drink and drug, I gotta get loaded. If I truly am, it's alright, I got it. I have trouble with cold water, I keep wanting to bless it and turn it into wine like the other dude did, you know. Thank you. See? If I'm powerless over cocaine, and I don't have a power enabling me to not have to use, I gotta get loaded. I don't think Kansas City is ready for 300 cocaine addicts to go out and use tonight. So there must be a power right here, right now, enabling 300 addicts to not have to use tonight. Right here, right now. So why am I walking around claiming I'm powerless in Cocaine Anonymous, for Christ's sake? I don't know why we do that. We do that, but I don't know why we do that. I don't do that. Cocaine Anonymous is such a power over cocaine, I don't know how to describe it. Look, if I ain't got this power in my life enabling me to not have to use cocaine, I gotta use cocaine. Because the disease I got will make me do what I already don't want to do. I can't not do it just because I don't want to. I wish I could. I wish I could just say no. I don't even know where that shit comes from. Just say no to a full-blown dope fiend like me. Just say no. It's like telling that homeless dude on the corner, "Hey, homeless dude, just get a house. Get a goddamn house, homeless dude. You prick, if I could get a house, I wouldn't be homeless. Yeah, and if I could just say no to cocaine, I wouldn't be a dope fiend neither. See, I can't not do it just because I don't want to. Because I've got a disease that I'm powerless over that makes me do what I already don't want to do. So I got to not want to do it, but then I got to do these steps and this work so that I don't do what I already don't want to do. And if I ain't doing these steps in this work or ain't done these steps in this work, I will do what I don't want to do because the disease I got that I'm powerless over will make me do what I don't want to do. You think I knew that shit when I got here? I ask folk all the time, what does it mean to be powerless over cocaine? What does it mean to be powerless? You know what? I think one of the reasons that we have such a low recovery rate in AA and ACA is that we give an incomplete message. Not so much a wrong message, but an incomplete message. For example, there is no mention in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous about admittance, acceptance and surrender. Admittance, acceptance and surrender is not mentioned in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, but we've took it up and have... You're a very decent bunch. You even let hunchbacks in here. What was I saying now? There is no mention in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous about admittance, acceptance and surrender. Not even mentioned. And yet we got folk walking about here calling it the program, calling it the way out. Admittance, acceptance and surrender. Sounds like the deal, but it's not the deal.
It sounds like people talk about it as if it's the deal, but it ain't. Fully concede to your innermost self that you are is the deal, and then admit, accept and surrender to that. But if you're trying to admit, accept and surrender without having fully conceded to your innermost self that you are, you're screwed and it won't work. Yeah, that's right. Do you know what also ain't mentioned in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous? Hitting bottom. Hitting bottom ain't mentioned in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's no mention of hitting bottom. In the beautiful 12 and 12 it says, why all this insistence that every alcoholic must hit bottom first? And yet there's no mention of hitting bottom in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. So consequently, we mess it up. We don't understand it. We all think we know, but we actually don't. We think we do, we say we do, and we feel we do, but we actually haven't. And why it's so important is because being powerless over cocaine, I've got to understand what being powerless is. And being powerless is not what I do because I'm powerless. I asked a guy in this meeting here tonight what powerless meant. A very well respected member. And he didn't know. He thought he did. He said, you know what he said? I don't have the will to resist its demand. That's a result of being powerless, my friend. That is not what powerless is. We tell people, being powerless is not my ability to drink and drug or not drink and drug. So many people think that it's, I have no control. To control it, you've got to be doing it. If you're doing it, you're already screwed. What I do because I'm powerless is not what powerless means. People think it is, but it actually isn't. Now, I'm going to ask you something, and I'm going to invite you to come to me, because I don't know anybody who is giving a definition of what powerless means. I asked our taper, as I've asked every taper in the country, and I know them all. Is there any speakers or talkers that are giving a definition of what powerless means? Because I'm not hearing it. I don't hear it. And yet it is so clear to me that I'm not going to stop saying it, even though I'm the only one saying it. And I need some help. I need your help. Because powerlessness is not what I do because I'm powerless. I'm going to go over some stuff. Maybe it's new to you. If you listen to Dr. Phil and Andy Robbins and people like that, you know what happens? They say that when new information is heard, the old information fights it and tries to resist it so that they can ignore it. Be open-minded, my friends. Being open-minded, people think, is to let the good stuff in. Being open-minded is really necessary to let the old shit out. That's what really open-minded needs. Because you can't let the new shit in if what you've already got is all full up with the rotten crap. So we got to be open enough to let the old shit out to let the new in. So if you hear something new in here tonight, don't automatically exit just because you haven't heard it before. But look, I'm going to talk about what powerless meant because you guys taught me. I was helpless and hopeless on January the 15th, 1983. Powerless. What did that mean? In and of myself, I was helpless and hopeless and powerless. Every reference to being powerless, helpless and hopeless, no mental defense, is all prior to here. Is no mention of being powerless after we get to recovery. Every mention of being powerless, that's why in my estimation, the first step is written in the past tense. We admitted we were powerless, that my life had become unmanageable. Not that I am powerless and it is unmanageable. Past tense. Think about it. In and of myself, January the 15th, 1983, hopeless and helpless, destitute in every department, I had no power over the disease of alcoholism addiction. I could not resist its demands. Why? What they call the third factor in the disease. There's no third factor, my friends. It's a twofold disease. Obsession of the mind, allergy of the body. I know commonly quoted it's threefold and fourfold. It's not. It's twofold. Obsession of the mind, allergy of the body. As a result of the twofold disease, we have created a spiritual malady. As a result of a twofold disease, we have created a spiritual malady. What the spiritual malady is that when we started drinking and drugging, in my case 16, late for some people, I know. I started drinking and drugging at 16, and guess what I did? Potential alcoholic that I was, the disease got me to abandon God and spirituality so that along the path of life, I end up here with no God in my life as far as alcohol and drugs is concerned. In the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous, and we read it out at every meeting, it says there is one who has all power, that one is God, may you find him now. Well, if I got to find him, it meant I didn't have him. I can't say I've got to go out and find him if I've already got him. And it's a spiritual solution, not a spiritual problem. It can't be both. It can't be a spiritual problem and a spiritual solution. It's a spiritual solution, not a spiritual problem. So as a result of the twofold disease, when I was 16, I started drinking. I was raised a Catholic. I'm not a Catholic basher. I don't want you to believe that. But I started drinking and drugging. The disease I got me to abandon God and spirituality and stop going to the sacraments and church and reading the Bible. I have no problem with the Bible. I love the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Being informed before leaving earth. I don't have a problem with the Bible. But the disease I got me to abandon God and spirituality so that along that path of life I end up here at 40 years of age in Alcoholics Anonymous with no God in my life. And the disease is the power in my life. The disease that I can't get out from under. I am helpless and hopeless and powerless because I have no God in my life to counteract the power of the disease. And the disease has got me by the short ones and sucks me in any time it wants. Why? Because I abandoned God and spirituality. Never had no God and spirituality as far as alcoholism addiction was concerned. Oh, I loved my kids, and I occasionally went to Mass, especially at Christmas, drunk. You know, if anybody remembers Midnight Mass. See, why hitting bottom is so important? It's because it's the process that brings us back to the God we've abandoned to ask for help. And that's what hitting bottom is, my friends. Hitting bottom is the same for all of us. Not different. I know well-meaning people say it's different for everybody, but it better not be. It better be the same. I know we think in terms of hitting bottom as being the outside circumstances and conditions of our life, but that's not what hitting bottom is. Hitting bottom is not the outside circumstances and conditions of our life. Hitting bottom is an inside job, not an outside circumstance. I know people think it's the outside stuff. I asked folk in here today. I asked one girl, I said, give me your bottom, love. She said, well, I was prostituting myself, feet to the curb, hustling the Broadway, trying to earn a dollar. I said, that wasn't your bottom, love. She said, well, I think it was. I said, I don't care what you think. I said to a dude, what was your bottom? Give me your bottom, pal. He said, well, I was locked up in a penitentiary, married to Bubba. I said, that wasn't your bottom, friend. He said it felt like it was. You got bad minds, that's what you are, bad minds. See, we think hitting bottom is how much we lost, where we ended up, in detox, living in an abandoned car, wife gone, kids gone, no money, no job, no house, no home, no hope, no helpless. That's not bottom, my friends. That's the outside circumstances and condition of a life. And why it's dangerous that we believe those outside circumstances and conditions of our life is the bottom is because when they improve and get better, we falsely believe that we've gotten better. Hitting bottom's an inside job. What happened to me on January the 15th, 1983? I can remember it very clearly. I hope that you can remember something similar because I know you have. Why do I know? Because you're here. You're here because he was there. Because I'd abandoned him, but he hadn't abandoned me. And when I, in desperation and despair, hurting so bad, without knowing what I was saying, or who I was saying it to, or what the results of what I was saying was going to be, I can remember going, help me, please, help me! What is wrong with me? I can't stand it anymore! What is wrong with me? Anybody relate to that? And asked for help. ASK, Ask Saving Kit. Help, H-E-L-P, His Ever-Loving Presence. And you know what? As I turned back to him to ask for help, he seemed to say to me, Mick, you silly bastard. I've been waiting for you to ask. Now get yourself over that 12-step program. Sent me to you. I asked for help and he sent me to you. Why? Because here was the power he provided for an alky like me to not have to use. See, that's why I know God and the power are different. I asked for help and he sent me to you. There is one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. I had to find him. Why? Because I didn't have him. And why did I need him? To beat the disease that I was in the grips of and under the power of and couldn't get out from under. So I didn't have a power and he was it. And I needed him to beat the disease. And I didn't have that and couldn't do that. So when I turned back to him, he sent me to you. Here was a 12-step spiritual fellowship. Me plus you was a power greater than me. You plus me is a power greater than you. Together we could do what I couldn't do alone. We could do what I couldn't do. That's why me, M-E, flip it over and it becomes...
We.
No shit.
Yeah.
We could do what I couldn't do. We could stay clean. I couldn't stay clean. So here was a power greater than myself that I could absolutely depend upon to stay clean, which was restoring me to sanity. Because you guys described insanity as repeating the same behavior and expecting a different result. Drinking and drugging. So if drinking and drugging was insanity, then not drinking and drugging was restoring me to sanity. Because, you know what, all those times they came and grabbed my arse and locked me away in some nut ward. They never once came along and grabbed my arse and said, we're locking you up for repeating the same behaviour and expecting a different result. They never said that. You said that. Wow, holy shit. So in and of myself I was helpless and hopeless. I turned back to the God that I've abandoned and asked it for help. It sends me to you. Here's a 12-step spiritual fellowship. You guys introduced me to a big book, a beautiful book I call it, Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous, B-I-G-B-O-O-K. Believing in God beats our old knowledge. In the beautiful book was a program, P-R-O-G-R-A-M, people relying on God, relaying a message. Message, M-E-S-S-A-G-E. Me, steps, sponsor and God every day. Holy shit. Why? Because I'm a newcomer. N-E-W-C-O-M-E-R. Newcomer. Nothing else worked. Completely out of manageability. Enter recovery. That's what a newcomer is. Wow. You think I knew this shit? I never knew that. Well, it's a 12 steps program. S-T-E-P-S. Solution to every problem, sober. Holy shit. Have I got to do the steps? Yes. Why? Because if you want to quit drinking and drugging, don't replace it with the steps, you go crazy, you go nuts. N-U-T-S, not using the steps. That's what starts is. Well, how do I do that? Get a sponsor. What do you mean sponsor? S-P-O-N-S-O-R. Sober person offering newcomers suggestions on recovery. That's what a sponsor is. Holy shit. Why? Why do I want to be sober? S-O-B-E-R, son of a bitch, everything works, everything's real. Yeah, that's why. Well, why do you want to be sober? Because I came here a hopeless dope fiend, now I'm a dopeless hope fiend, that's why I want to be sober. Yeah. Hope, H-O-P-E. We have faith, hope and courage, don't we? Faith, F-A-I-T-H, fear and insecurity, trust him. Trust, T-R-U-S-T, try relying upon step 3. Hope, H-O-P-E. Happy our program exists. Who's happy they got a program here? Yeah, no shit. H-O-P-E, hearing other people's experiences. That's what we do, don't we? We come here, and it takes a great amount of courage to come here and do that. C-O-U-R-A-G-E. Because of using, recovery is a great effort. That's why Johnny wrote courage. He put that in there special. Because it takes a great amount of courage. Don't undermine yourself. Just being here and making a start is a tremendous amount of courage, folks. I applaud you, as you did me. I love being an active member of Cocaine Alliance. Powerless? Why would I say I'm powerless? Powerless is only mentioned once in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's in the very first step. Power is mentioned 66 times. 66 times power's mentioned. Once powerless is mentioned, and we're all walking around going, powerless, powerless. Everybody's powerless. Powerless, powerless, powerless. Poor little powerless. That is so alcoholic. If you're like me and you stand on the firing line every day and you work with newcomers, remember this. If you tell a newcomer, 66 people tell a newcomer, don't do that. But if he can turn to one person who seems to have gotten away with it, who do you think he takes note of? Once powerless is mentioned, 66 times power is mentioned, and we're all walking around going, powerless. I heard a guy today say, powerless over everything. Powerless over people, places and things. Being powerless over people, places and things has nothing to do with nothing. It certainly has nothing to do with alcoholism addiction. Everybody is and isn't powerless over people, places and things. It's nothing to do with being an alcoholic addict. You think everybody is and isn't powerless? You think Granny Clampett ain't powerless over Jethro? You think the Pope ain't powerless over wearing that bloody hat? You think that Russian dude with the big purple blob on his head, that one, ain't powerless over purple blobs? You think that sucker don't come out the shower one day and look in the mirror and go, how come I got a purple blob on my head? Nothing to do with alcoholism addiction, but herein lies the danger. Believing that people, places and things, the powerlessness over people, places and things, is the same as the powerlessness over our addiction is so dangerous, because look, we got a room full of addicts here, and we do know that I do have some power sometimes over some things. Sometimes I can get what I want from you. Sometimes you can get me to do what you want me to do. Sometimes I do have some power sometimes over some things. If I believe that about my addiction, I'm screwed. If I believe that in and of myself have anything at all, even the smallest increment of power over this addiction, this disease has got a whole computer bank of evidence to come barging through and kick my ass. And if you don't believe that, listen up. Because that's the truth. I can't afford to confuse these things. I know we say this crap. I call it lip-flapping party line bullshit. And it gets bantered around as if it has some meaning, and it doesn't. It has nothing to do with nothing. And here we have it. Why do I have my sponsor, man? I have my sponsor so that he can teach me how to apply these principles to all my affairs. I love my sponsor. I got a sponsor. I've had three sponsors in 21 years. Two of them have died. My sponsor. I didn't go for somebody who had what I wanted or I could relate to. I went to people who was opposite to what I was to teach me different to what I do. I told you, I'm a completely illegal person. I got a judge as a sponsor. I love my sponsor, man. He teaches me how to apply these principles to all my affairs. Like the beautiful book says, elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A far greater demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations and affairs. Now I know it's said around here and it sounds glib. All we got is today, one day at a time. If time don't count for you, give it up. If all we got is today, if you woke up before me this morning, then you're sober longer than me. I ain't going to wake up till 8 o'clock in the morning. Go out and get drunk tonight and wake up at 7 and tomorrow's meeting, come and tell everybody you're sober, clean and sober longer than Mickey Butch because you're an hour woke up before him earlier today. Load of crap. T-I-M-E, this I must earn. You know, I ain't giving up my time. I'm staying here with you. You know, why would I do that? If all you want is today and just being clean and sober today, all we got is today, if that's all that matters to you, go and chain yourself to a tree. You'll be sober at the end of the day. It won't work, but you'll be tied for first place in AA. If all you want is one day clean and sober, I'll tell you how you can go and get one day clean and sober. Go downtown and deck a cop. You'll get on the day clean and sober, don't worry about that. That ain't what we're talking about, folks. My sponsor helps me apply these principles to all my affairs, especially my personal relationships. Now, I don't know about you folk here in Kansas City. Maybe you ain't like us sickos down there in Santa Monica. We ain't very good at relationships. We keep trying, but we seem to screw it up. What about you guys here? Anybody here good at relationships? Yeah, I am. I wrote a word for relationships. R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S-H-I-P. Really exciting love affair turns into outrageous nightmare. Sobriety hangs in peril. Oh, you relate to that sick shit, huh? Yeah. You got to be careful of that laughter, folks, I'm telling you. They say if you're laughing, you're relating. And if you're relating to a sicko like me, there ain't no doubt about you, pal. I'll tell you that. I don't get through to no well people. Well people don't laugh at my shit. I say shit a lot. I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's a message-carrying word. S-H-I-T. Simply how I think. Some people think I'm full of shit, so I wrote a word for you too. Crap. C-R-A-P. Carrying resentments against people. But I ain't the same dude who came in here broke, busted, disgusted and not to be trusted. Not at all. You know, I'm a very wealthy man financially and materially today. But my greatest asset is that loving God you taught me about. That I would no sooner leave my house with no prayers and no pants, for Christ's sake. You know, why would I do that? My loving God thinks I'm the greatest thing he's ever produced. I'm the best Mickey Bush I've ever been. In fact, I'm the best Bush in town. My telephone number, incidentally, is 818 area code. Are you sober? 818, like Toys R Us, R-U-S-O-B-E-R. 818, not 800, you cheap buggers, 818. 818 area code. And you can reach me anytime. If you were to call that now, somebody would answer the phone and tell you where I was or that, when I'd be back. And I give you that number because that's, after that very first meeting in January the 15th, 1983, that's what you guys gave me. I got home from that meeting. And I had two telephone numbers in my hand. Now, I know you don't, but I did call one of them. I called the number. Dude answered the phone. I said, I don't know who you are, pal. I said, but I've got your number in my hand. Oh, he said, I recognise your accent from the meeting at lunchtime. Oh, I said, was you at the meeting? He said, yeah, I gave you the number. I went, oh. I told you I wasn't glued together very well. I said, what about them meetings? He said, what about them? I said, when do you go to them meetings? He said, I go every day. I said, oh, is that right? How long have you been going to them meetings? He said, 4 months. I said, what does that mean? He said, I'm 4 months clean and sober. I said, holy shit. I said, you go to them meetings at night? He said, yeah, every night. I said, can I go to one of them meetings with you tonight? He said, well, actually, he said, I normally do, but tonight I've made arrangements to go to a movie, so I'm not going to a meeting tonight. When all little inside, you know how we feel rejected and... All right, don't matter then, don't matter. And he picked up on it like we do. He said, holy shit, he said, what is wrong with me? I said, what's the matter? He said, you may have just saved my life. I said, no, I never done nothing. I didn't know it was a disease of denial. D-E-N-I-A-L, don't even notice I am lying. Or don't even notice it's a lie. I don't notice when I'm lying and I don't notice when I'm being lied to, especially by a disease that tells me I ain't got it. Anybody relate to that? Anybody relate to the voices that talk to you? Who relates to the voices that talk to you? You know the voices that talk to you. You know the voices I'm talking about, them bloody voices that just said, what voices? Them voices. You know them voices. You know... You know them voices. Drive you crazy! Drive you crazy!
I said, oh. He said, where do you live? I'm coming round to pick you up. I said, what do you mean? What about your movie? He said, you're much more important than a movie. I went all special again, didn't I? He came round and picked me up, didn't he? He was bloody weird. He came round in this little red Fiat sports car. But he had it all decked out like a Mercedes with a big emblem and wheels and shit. I didn't know it, but I was getting my first lesson in alcoholic grandiosity. He took me to a meeting, got me a beautiful book of Alcoholics Anonymous, just like this one. A third edition, not a fourth. This is a fourth edition. This is the book, by the way, that we gave to the newcomer. She allowed me to use it tonight. You know, this is the one that we freely gave to the newcomer who didn't have one and was one day yesterday. Thank you, love. I hope you keep coming back. I encourage you to read the book Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's a strange thing. I have never met anybody who reads the book Alcoholics Anonymous and then says, piece of shit book, thinks it's a guru, screw that, and throw it against the wall. Nobody says, I have never met anybody do that. But if you tell people what's in the book, they give you the finger wave. Hey, have yours! Who do you think you are? I think you're a bloody guru. So read the book. Read the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It has some magic in it. I love the book Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm going to take the liberty of reading a bit out of one of the stories. It's called Me, an Alcoholic. I looked up an AA meeting and went there alone. That's what I did. Here I found an ingredient that had been lacking in any other effort I'd made to save myself. Here was power. Here was power to live to the end of any given day. Power to have the courage to face the next day. Power to have friends. Power to help people. Power to be sane. Power to stay sober. That was 7 years ago. And many AA meetings ago. And I haven't had a drink during those 7 years. Moreover, I am deeply convinced that so long as I continue to strive in my bumbling way towards the principles I first encountered in the earlier chapters of this book, this remarkable power will continue to flow through me. What is this power? With my AA friends, all I can say is that it's a power greater than myself. That's good shit, isn't it? If pressed, all I can do is follow the psalmist who said it long before me, be still and know that I am God. It's good enough for this alcoholic addict, I'll tell you that. Zachary, one of the founders of Cocaine Anonymous, took me to a meeting. Got me a beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Still got it. It's got lots of miles on it too. You know what? We do things like the beautiful book says. We have a vast amount of fun about it all. We do things together. I run sober living houses. I got 85 beds for newcomers. Most of them are full up most of the time. They ain't always got a lot of dough, but we contribute. I've taught them how to contribute like you guys taught me. So when we go to things like the big CA picnic that we had down in Balboa Park a little while ago, they ain't got the dough to pay the entrance fee, but they do security and they do clean up and they help and they do a commitment. And we welcome them. I was walking around there a little while ago and I bumped into old Zachary, the guy who took me all those years ago to get me a big book. I was happy to see him. I hadn't seen him in a while. Said, hi Zachary, how you doing, brother man? He said, I'm doing great, Mick. He said, I hear you're doing good too. I said, I'm doing phenomenal. I said, what are you doing on this side of the hill? Because he lives in Beverly Hills. I said, what are you doing on this side of the hill, pal? He said, I'm speaking at the meeting today. And I went, wow. It took me just half a minute to realise. Guess what, folks? He's still 4 months ahead of me.
See, it's the actions we take, and he's still being of service, and we're still now doing what we were taught when we first got here, to be actively involved in our recovery, just like the beautiful book Alcoholics Anonymous teaches me. Alcoholics Anonymous, look, I'll leave you with this. A-L-C-O-H-O-L-I-C-S, Alcoholics. A-N-O-N-Y-M-O-U-S, Alcoholics Anonymous. This is what it really means. A life centered on helping others lives in complete sobriety. Actions, not our names, yield maintenance of unity and service. And that's what we got, folks, haven't we? That's all we got. There ain't no more than that. That's all we got, and it's right here in this beautiful book, Alcoholics Anonymous. I thank you for allowing me to come here. I can tell you today that I love you, which I couldn't do when I got here. I don't know how to end these little talks no better than the very first thing that I ever heard in any form of recovery. Before I even got in the rooms, you said, "We love you. Keep coming back." And I do you. God bless.